Dr. Emma Wells from the University of York's Department of Archaeology. I notice saying here, Notre Dame is a touchstone of not only France, but Europe's history. Thanks for joining us, Emma. So just explain, why do we get so involved with these buildings?
Oh, well, I mean, that's a great question in itself. I mean, Notre Dame, for example, as I say, it is intertwined within not only France's, but Europe's entire history. I mean, these buildings have witnessed such, you know, vast events over these, you know, 850 years, if we think of Notre Dame. They have witnessed some of the greatest events in our history. At Notre Dame, for example, we saw the Crusaders, they prayed there before the Holy Wars. We saw Henry VI crowned there, King of France when he was only 10, after he came over from Westminster. Napoleon Bonaparte, he was crowned emperor there in 1804. Well, he crowned himself emperor there. Joan of Arc was even beatified there, so started her road as a saint. So, you know, they've been witness to essentially our history. The history is within those stones.
And there's no question, I mean, France is a fairly secular society these days, but you could see on the face, the expressions etched on people's faces, they were horrified at what they were seeing. It's really part of our identity, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. I mean, it's not only obviously an architectural beauty, but it has real sort of cultural, spiritual, religious significance, historical significance. It's, you know, it's a site of Christian worship and the prime site of Catholic worship in France, but also it's a visual icon of Parisian and French identity. And in fact, you know, it rivals visitor numbers, it rivals the Eiffel Tower even. So that, I mean, that just shows what a beacon of culture, heritage, history it really is to Parisians, to the French, and to Europeans as well.
Now then, we've seen pictures of people bravely going into the cathedral and rushing in and pulling things out and taking valuable icons away with them and artifacts and what have you. I mean, have we any idea yet what was saved and what was lost?
From what I can tell, the reports are a bit conflicting, but I've sort of seen that the majority of the relics seem to have been preserved. So I've seen that one of the tunic of Saint Louis, that's been preserved. I believe the crown of thorns, the fragments of the true cross, the holy nails, the manuscripts, the jewels, the chalices. I mean, you know, this isn't just the relics, as I've seen, the crown of thorns. There are invaluable jewels, manuscripts, you know, things that we can never replace. And that from what I've seen, there have been reports that all of these have been rescued. But I think as yet, we need to wait and see, you know, whether that is entirely the case.
Well, that would be pretty amazing in search. But of course, we have lost all that wonderful woodwork that can't be replaced. And but at least the building has been secured. And just tell us the importance of this building. Because everyone, I mean, you know, here we are. I'm a stone's throw away from a pretty important Gothic structure in itself. But Notre Dame is always held up as I don't know, is it the Gothic cathedral or would York Minster rival it?
Oh, well, well, I mean, it is one of the Gothic cathedrals of the medieval era, as it was one of the first sort of innovative structures of that era. I mean, the sheer scale of Notre Dame, even in comparison to sort of York, it's a vast enterprise of 12th, 13th century cathedral building. I mean, it was one of the first to have, well, it's first to have four stories in height, and that's why, you know, it has those huge 15-metre span of flying buttresses that creates that sort of skeletal frame to it that we know and love so well. And that was to ensure that, you know, it could hold the weight and to allow it to allow the structure to come upwards rather than upwards and outwards. I mean, we were used to the sort of Norman, the Romanesque, the very heavy architecture, I think Durham Cathedral with the huge, huge pillars and then much more smaller glass windows. Whereas this new Gothic style, these new buttresses, these, you know, rib vaults allowed for these vast windows of glass and therefore the images of the Bible for all to see, these jewelled windows. Therefore, these, you know, representations of heaven on earth. So it was a real innovative building, a real, you know, touchstone, as I say, of the Gothic era that was probably the second in France. And that's why it's such an important building in itself.
Mm. Well, we know that York Minster's glass is the Sistine Chapel of medieval glass. We know that. That's imprinted on the memory. So what are the glass at Notre Dame then? Because I think much of it's, well, a lot of it's been lost, isn't it?
From what I've seen, though, some of it seems to have been conserved, actually. We have, it's sort of a mishmash of sort of 13th century and 19th century. It's rose windows. Again, it's sort of a mixture of also the stonework and the glass as sort of two separate things. It's rose windows. The West Rose was put in about 1225, and then the North Rose was, you know, a couple of decades later, and then the remaining elements sort of 1345. From what I've seen, I believe only one has gone. I'm not sure which it is because I keep getting conflicting reports, but the South Rose particularly was actually altered in the 19th century anyway. So although these are all extremely important windows, and in itself, we shouldn't just look at the medieval aspects because these are, you know, these are palimpsests, these are layers of history. So we shouldn't be just looking to, oh, what's been saved from the medieval era, the 19th century, the 17th century, the 18th century. It's all just important fabric. And it became the building we know today in the 19th century, in fact.
Well, yes. And of course, I mean, history moves on. We know that all these grand old buildings suffer from fires from time to time. The Selby Abbey in 1906, York Minster in 84, and Notre Dame now. Yeah. And it was ravaged during the Revolution. So it's sort of been here before. And I do actually love the fact that you can go into York Minster amid all the medieval stuff and look up at one of the bosses, which has the moon landing motif. Yes. On it, which is terrific. History moves on. We know that they will rebuild it.
Well, exactly. I think that's the important point, is we build, therefore we can rebuild. Yes, it's a substantial loss. Of course it is. The entire fabric is a substantial loss, whatever century it from which it derives. But we have witnessed such losses over the years, and of course we need to mourn this loss. Of course we can't recreate it, we can't get it back. But the silver lining there is that, you know, we can go into the cathedral now, what's left, what's remaining, and see how, you know, things need to be shaped for the future, and we can see how it sort of transpired in the past. Buildings archaeologists can go in and uncover more of its history than ever before, you know, and sort of put what building is there back into context. You know, we can learn the crafts of our medieval forebears from what's there. So all hope is not entirely lost. We've seen this before. You know, I know the medieval stonemasons at York always said we knew we could rebuild it. And they have medieval stonemasons, glaziers, you know, with those crafts, should I say, at in France. So they can do the same thing.